Well, good morning on this last Sunday of 2014. Taryn's devotional this morning reminded me of the fact that I haven't given you your Christmas present yet. I'm giving you all a day planner for 2015 in which you will find a Bible reading schedule that I encourage you to select and use for your personal edification and spiritual growth. But Canada Post has not delivered them yet. So please take an IOU, and I'll get you your calendars as soon as they come in. But I wanted to mention that, so lest you think that I had forgotten you. I have not. Sometimes that's the way it goes. They had some good reason as to why they got held up. It was such a good reason, I don't recall it. But I'm sure they'll be here this week. I want to just take a moment to praise the Lord for His answered prayer, in particular for one of our families. I know many of us have been praying for this family as they traveled over to Africa and went through all the paperwork and everything else to get their son. Madoc, is that correct, Tyson?
Madoc,
I'm sorry. I had the accent on the wrong syllable. Congratulations. It's good to have you guys back, and praise God for that. Kim was telling me all about it this morning. He said they actually got in a half hour early. Now, that's answered prayer, isn't it? Huh? Praise the Lord. Well, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we get started this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that we've experienced from Your hand in 2014. And we pray, Lord, as we look to 2015, that, Lord, You would bless each one of us. And that, Lord, You would guide us, You would direct us. And, Lord, might we be faithful to do the things that You've called us to do in 2015. Might it be a year in which Your name is exalted and glorified above all others. Might be a year in which many come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, might it even be a year when You would return. We look forward to that as well. Lord, as we look into Your word this morning, we pray that You would speak to our hearts. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would just have His way here today. And that, Lord, we would have hearts that would be totally surrendered to You, pliable in Your hands, open and receptive to Your word. And we give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at a message that I've entitled Year in Review. Can we get our monitors turned on, guys? Would that be possible? Otherwise, I'll be constantly turning around to see if you're with me or not. Year in Review. When you think about Year in Review, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I think about charts and lists and just a bunch of data as to what's happened in the past year. And quite honestly, when I sat down to put this message together, that was what was on my mind. What have we done in 2014? And as I began to dig into Scripture, I find when God does a review and when His people do reviews on their life, it's not focused on what we have done. It's focused on something much different. It's actually focused on a self-examination to consider where have you been in 2014. If you take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets, we see an example of this self-examination that I would like to encourage you to follow this morning. Chapter 1. And we're going to look at a couple of verses there. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Oh, it didn't come up. I had every intention of giving you this on the screen, but it's not coming up there. I don't know what's wrong. But here we go. He says in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, he says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. consider your ways. Now this word ways in Hebrew is the word taught. And it quite honestly literally means to consider your manners, your way of life, your attitude towards things. In other words, consider your priorities. Consider what's been important to you. Consider how you've conducted your life. Not the things you've done, but what's in here. It says, consider your ways. And he goes on, he says, you know, you have sown much and brought in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. In other words, all of these accomplishments really haven't been accomplishments. You haven't done much. Consider your ways. Consider your heart. You see, at first reading, one might think there's something wrong with, you know, having sown and these different things. You know, might say, well, there's something wrong with having work. Is there something wrong with work? Well, no, there's not anything wrong with work. God's not saying that at all. What he is saying is, what's your attitude towards it? Fact is, Scripture says, if a man is not willing to work, don't let him eat. You know, so God wants us to work. That's a good thing. He's not saying there's a problem with your work. He's not saying there's something wrong with planting and sowing. You know, we plant in the spring so that we might sow in the fall. We're planning ahead. And God's not saying there's a problem with that. In fact, his Scripture says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You know, these are things we should be doing. And he's not saying there's anything wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with clothing. These are all things that God praises the woman of Proverbs 31 for doing for her family. The real issue is, what is our attitude? Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This really summarizes it. This puts it in perspective. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This thing that I should have as number one priority is God's kingdom. How to be focused on what he wants me to do, what he wants to accomplish. And all these things, the planting, the harvesting, the clothing, the drinks, the wages, all of these other things that are listed previously in Matthew chapter 6. If you have some time sometime, go back and read that whole chapter. It's a great chapter. But he says, all of these things shall be added unto you if you will put God first. This needs to be your priority. God will take care of the other things. Don't make those your priority. They're not important. So as we consider 2014 individually, you personally, what was your priority in 2014? What was your focus? What was the most important thing to you? I don't know about you, but as I ask myself that question and I look back over 2014, I say, you know, there were days when that was true. I put God first. Then there were days I put myself first. There were days when I went, Lord, I didn't do that. If I'm honest, and I got to believe if you're honest, it's probably true in your life as well. God says, put him first. As we do a self-examination, that's where we got to start. What is our priority? Over my life, there have been many priorities that have taken place ahead of God in my life. when I was a teenager, God impressed upon my heart I should enter the ministry, and that was number one in my life. Until I had opportunity, possibly, to get an athletic scholarship. And I thought, wow, that's what I'm going to pursue. And then that didn't happen. And God is still speaking to me. And, well, no, I have something else I want to do, Lord. And then there came a time in my life when I had an opportunity to get into the ministry. And I said, well, God, I have a family now. That's not possible. But I could make a lot of money. And so I began to pursue a business. That really didn't work out too well either. I kind of feel like that person that God is describing in Haggai. I was earning wages and putting it in a bag with holes in it. You ever feel that way? You're working like crazy and earning money and it's going into a bag that has holes in it. I don't know where you might be, but if you're not making God number one, then you have the wrong priority. The wrong priority. We should be serving God. Him first. All these other things that He knows we need, and even a lot of the things He knows that we just want, He'll provide those for us. But what truly is your number one priority? What are you seeking? You know, that word seek doesn't mean just to take a glance out here and no, I don't see it. That word seek means to use everything that you have at your disposal to find it, to pursue it. Another word you might use would be to hunt for the kingdom of God. You know, I know not many of you are hunters, but those of you that are, you can identify with this. When you go hunting, there's nothing that's more important than finding that prey. That's what you're seeking. And here, this is what Jesus is saying. Nothing else can be in front of that. This needs to be your number one priority. Seek Him above all else. The problem is not the things that we do. The problem is the priority that we give them. And nothing we do in life should overshadow God and His kingdom. So, how have your priorities been in 2014? Let me ask you another question. How has your spiritual life been in 2014? How's your relationship with God been in 2014? This is sometimes maybe a little more difficult to evaluate, but nonetheless, it's something we are commanded to evaluate in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. If you've got your Bibles, turn there, because you're going to want to mark this. Truly, I think you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. That's an important thing to do. Take stock right now. Are you a believer? Are you someone who has placed your faith in Jesus Christ? He goes on, he says, test yourselves. Do you know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? We need to start right there when we evaluate ourselves. Do we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? That's the number one question we should be asking as we evaluate ourselves. How would you answer that? If you're here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know that He's in me. You can. I want you to know that. I was witnessing with one of the fellows in our church back in Washington, in Port Angeles, Washington. And we knocked on a door, and this woman came to the door, and we asked her, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And she said, well, I'm not sure what you mean by that. We said, well, do you have Him residing in you? Do you know that He is your Savior? Do you know that you will spend eternity with Him? And her response was, well, nobody can know that. If you're here this morning and that's kind of your attitude, that's your thought, I don't know, and I don't believe you can know. I want you to know you can. It's really, really something you can know. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans. I don't believe this is in your outline. If it is, fine. If not, it's a bonus verse. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Probably a verse that many of you know by heart. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There it is, right there. It's that simple. It's a clear statement. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's an imperative, I mean, a factual statement. That's not a question. There's no qualifier other than if you believe and confess with your mouth. Go on to verse 10. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can know that you're born again. You can know that Jesus is in you. And as we come to the close of 2014, ask yourself, do you know Jesus? As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, is he in you? Do you know that? Friend, if you don't leave here without talking to me. Please give me the opportunity to share with you from God's word how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have Jesus in your life. There's no greater thing than to have that security. There's a way that we can tell as well. And we find that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit is himself, that's God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now you might say, well, how does he do that? Well, I think there are many ways, but three that really stand out to me that I want to share with you this morning. The first way that he does it, that he bears witness with our spirit, is that he convicts or he pricks our conscience. Let me give you an example of how he does that. There have been numerous times, more than I could actually count, where I have prayed over a passage. I've just really spent all week pouring over it. And then I deliver a message. And in my mind, it has a very pointed message as to what God is saying, at least what he's saying to me through that passage. And then I go back and I'm greeting people as they leave, and someone says, Pastor, that message told me this and such. And I'm going, well, that's not what I was thinking it was all about. Where did you get that? I said that? No, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Or there's the time when I prepare a message and I deliver it, and at the door someone says to me, you were preaching right to me, weren't you? You wrote that message for me. No, I didn't. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And if you've experienced that, let me know. Let me tell you that's his working in your life. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit. The second way is he comforts. He provides peace in the midst of turmoil. He provides peace in the midst of turmoil. Probably the best example I can think of this is to look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Here he is in Philippi. He's been attacked by the people. He's been falsely accused. He's been brought before the judges. He has been convicted of something he didn't do, and then he is beaten, and he's taken down into the bottom of the prison, and he's chained there, bleeding and beaten. Now put yourself in that position. What are you going to do? I don't know about you, but my natural tendency would be to say, why me? Why am I here, Lord? I mean, I'm just doing your will. Why did you let this happen? Right? That would be the normal human response. But notice what Paul did. Paul began to sing praises. of joy. You see, how could he do that? It's because in the midst of all this turmoil, God's Holy Spirit gave him peace. There have been times in my life when things are just a mess all around me, and yet I have peace. Where does that come from? It comes from his Holy Spirit ministering to my need at that point in time. This is how he bears witness. These things happen, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm God's child. Third thing is, he's a compass for us. He provides direction. He guides us. The problem is sometimes we're not willing to listen. The problem is we don't want to let go of the steering wheel. We're not willing to ride in the passenger seat. But if we will ride in the passenger seat, he'll direct our paths. He'll guide you to places you never thought you'd go. He'll lead you to situations that you never imagined you'd be in. He'll put you in the company of people that you've never known, and yet you have an opportunity to be encouraged by them, to encourage them, to witness to them, if you just listen to the Holy Spirit. And as he guides you, know this, that's evidence. That's proof that you're a child of God. That's proof that you're a child of God. Let me ask you, did you love God in 2014? Did you love God? I mean, actively love him. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 13, we'll look at verses 1 through 3, and then we'll talk about verse 4. But it says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let's go after other gods. One you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, if someone comes along and is saying, follow after something other than what you know to be God, know this, that God is testing you to see whether you love him. Even if there seems to be evidence that this individual has some validity to what he says. If it's contrary to God's word, then don't do it. Don't go there. That's a test, God says to the children of Israel. This is a test to see whether you love me or whether you love yourself. Who do you love? Who do you love? I believe in our world today, while we don't maybe so much have prophets who are saying right out and out, let's follow a different God, we really do have. I mean, there are people who are saying to young people, you know, you don't have to do what your mom and dad says. They're old-fashioned. They really don't know what they're talking about. Listen to me. I know what you ought to do. Listen to the world. Follow what the world is doing. God's word says, children, obey your parents. You see, if somebody's saying to you, do something other than what your parents said, they're really saying to you, follow a different God. Follow a different God. There are those that would have us ignore God's commands for purity. Premarital sex has become commonplace. You know, you turn on the TV and watch any, I don't care what it is, situation, comics, or whatever it is. You turn it on, you watch that, and you know what you're going to see. Somewhere along the line, you've got a couple that's shacked up together, and life is just great. I mean, that's the way it is. And if you want to experience that kind of pleasure, you want to experience that kind of success in life, this is where it comes from. That's how you have a happy and fulfilled relationship. And if it's not, then you just leave. But God says, no. God says no. That marriage is honored in all things. You see, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if you're following something else, you're following another God. This is a test. Do you love him? I'm pursuing wealth. You know, our society wants you to know that if you're going to be happy, you have to have a large bank account. You ask people, well, I'm going to pick on young people because the us older ones have already done it. We've already made the mistake. But it's like, hey, what are you going to pursue with your life? Well, the response quite often is, well, I've decided I'll do this. You know, you can make a lot of money doing that. If that's what is guiding you, you're misguided. And I'm telling you from experience, I've been there, I've done it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Do what he calls you to do. That's where you'll find success and happiness. And we could go on and on with the things that the world and others are putting out there to tell us this is where we'll find happiness. Follow after those things, and they're contrary to God's word. They're contrary to our God. It's a test. Do you love him? Verse 4 gives us what I call the marks of true love for God. He says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Let's look at those things that he says in that verse. First of all, he says, we are to walk after the Lord. What does that mean? It means that my lifestyle, the way I live my life, should be according to his pattern. Follow after the Lord. Walk after him. We look at Jesus Christ, and what was his priority? His priority was to accomplish the Father's will. What is your priority in life? Are you seeking to accomplish the Father's will in your life? Walk after him. There should be something different about the way you live your life from the way of the world. It should be distinctly Christian, if you will, Christ-like. We should fear him. This is one that sometimes we have a little confusion about. We kind of have the picture of fear as kind of huddling in the corner and shaking. That's fear. That's fear. One definition of fear. But the definition of this fear is to have respect. Respect for God. Do you respect God? Do you respect him? Keep his commandments. You know, this is very, very straightforward. Those things that he said to do, and he's written them in his word. You can read them. You can know them. Those things we're to do. We're to keep those things. Pretty straightforward. One thing I would say, if you're going to keep his commandments, you must first know them. If you're going to know them, then you must read them. Hence the reason I'm going to give you those calendars, and I expect you to use them so that you might be able to do what God tells you to do. Obey his voice. You know, sometimes there's that still small voice that speaks to you. He says, you know, I want you to reach out to this person and minister to them. How about, Lord, I'm in a hurry. I've got a lot of things I got to do today. I really don't have time to take out of my schedule to sit down. But I want you to speak to this person. You know, ministering to this person is more important than all the things you have planned. You know, will you obey that voice when you hear it? Serve him. Serve him. There are tremendous opportunities here at Faith Baptist Church to get involved and serve. But that's not the extent of opportunity to serve the Lord. It's not just here at Faith Baptist Church. There are many other places that you can serve God. The question is, are you serving him? These are the true marks of love for God, is someone who patterns their life after him, who has evidences of the fact that you are a Christian, a respect, a reverential fear for God, a desire to keep his commandments and listening to his voice and serving him. As we evaluate our life in the light of these things, let me ask you, did you love God in 2014? Will you love him in 2015? You know, it's a commitment that we have to make. Be committed to do these things. Love for God doesn't just happen. It's a decision that we make. Well, as you evaluate your life and you look over this list, let me ask you. Oh, one more. Hold fast to Him. Hold fast to Him. Hold fast to Him. As you look at what God's been saying to you this morning, what changes is God telling you to make in 2015? God's been speaking to your heart about maybe getting involved in service, about being obedient to His commands. What things has God been speaking to you about that He would have you to change in 2015? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we evaluate our lives this morning, I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would examine our hearts. And as we quietly and prayerfully come before You this morning, we ask, God, that Your Holy Spirit would reveal to us those things that You would have us to change in our life. And I pray, Lord, that we each one might make the commitment to be obedient to Your Holy Spirit this morning, to commit to do those things that You've called us to love You with all our hearts, to be obedient to Your commands, to make You the number one priority in our life. And Lord, this morning, perhaps if there's someone here today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and Your Spirit is speaking to them at this very moment, I pray, Lord, that that individual would not leave this place without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, as You're speaking to hearts this morning, that each one of us would not leave here this morning without making the commitment to live our lives for You in 2015, to Your name's honor and glory. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.